truly stepping into the role of leader in your own life the way you know you're meant to? What shifts would unlock your full potential? It's time to explore those answers with the host of Sacred Leadership, intuitive business coach, Charisse Alexander.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Sacred Leadership with Charisse. My name is Charisse Alexander, your host here on Inspired Choices Network. And I just want to give you a heartfelt welcome to today's show, where we are talking about creating calm and peace in work and business environments. And I actually think that this, what we're going to talk about today, is wholly relatable. Not just in work or in business, but really in every single facet of your life. So I want to set the stage for you a little bit. And just for a moment, we're going to go back a little bit in time and recall a time when perhaps you might have been feeling really chaotic and, you know, you're driving to work and there's road ragers going on all around you and you're maybe a little bit late and you're thinking about all the things you need to do and you're creating this anxiety within yourself. So by the time you get to where you are going, you are in a frenzy. And that is really what we're going to talk about, is how do we, you know, go through life and experience these things and still have that calm dwelling within us so that our external world is really not flapping us around too much. But before we dive in, a little bit about myself. So, of course, my name is Charisse Alexander, host here today. And I have been in business for, I don't want to date myself too much, but dating back roughly 20 years. And over the years, I've been involved in sales and a lot in finance and really trying to serve the collective. I can see that now through whatever it was I happened to be doing at that point in time. So as I said, through sales and mostly finance. And over the years, what I've learned or come to understand is that I'm super passionate about two things, which is business and, of course, spirituality. And the purpose of ultimately is peace and calm to our environment when there's nothing but chaos around us. So let us dive into what that looks like. So I've set the stage. I know you can all imagine it. You're beginning of your day, whether you're working at home or if you are commuting, there's always a little bit of a frenzied energy as we start to dive into the workday, or maybe before you learned how to calm yourself down, there would be this frenzied energy that was going on. So I like to think about it like this. Your exterior world, so when you witness this kind of chaos and this frenzy, it's certainly gives you the opportunity to pause and reflect. So a lot of the things that I'm talking about is about witnessing and observing and seeing what's going on. And what I want you to remember, if you remember nothing else about today, is that your exterior world is absolutely a reflection of your inner world. So if you are seeing a lot of chaos and it's starting to get to you, the first question is, what's going on inside? So when you think about the chaos, and we look around ourselves, like look around in your environment, not only just for yourself, but even witness the folks around you, I'm certain that what you will notice is that it's become increasingly easy to try and drown out that chaos. And here's what I mean when I say that. You know, it might be that back in the day, it was just, you know, people would drink or they would do drugs or they would gamble or they would do any number of things. And I think that where we are right now in 2025 is it's gotten increasingly accessible for us to like numb out and just maybe trying to ignore that chaos that we're feeling within. And the easiest way to do that is scrolling, right? So be it on social media or on the internet or whatever your favorite digital devices or platform, scrolling has become effectively a way for us to like numb out the chaos. And really what we're going to talk about today in the first half of today's show is we're going to talk about, again, the work begins inside and then we start to look at the exterior. So with that in mind, once you've witnessed, and there's lots of different ways to like witness that there's actually chaos going on within. So the first one, of course, is your mind and the chaos. Like, you know, if your thoughts are just kind of erratic and all over the place and you can't seem to focus. And I'm not a doctor and I'm not saying don't see doctors. I think a lot of people would say, you know, that's ADD or ADHD and a number of those things. And that could all very well be possible. But that to me is like the first thing that we should be witnessing. Like, where are my thoughts at? Am I able to like, you know, stay with a thought? And what I mean when I say that, the ability to focus and not be chasing the thoughts that are going around in your mind. I think the second indicator of the chaos that you can witness within yourself is, how do you feel? So I'll be really honest, today before I jumped on the mic, I was just like, man, I'm feeling really anxious and I'm not really sure why. And so that's the question to ask, like, okay, well, why am I feeling anxious? Like, what's going on? And once you start to like tune into like more than just you and the energies, you can start to really recognize that it's not just you. You are, if you think about your experience in this world, and this is going to be a little abstract, so I'm going to try and go slow with this. But if you really think about yourself as an energetic being having a human experience, there is a lot of energy that is floating around you at all times. There are your cell phones, there are your laptops, there are the waves in the air, there are the people that you're in proximity to who are also beaming out energy. There is the energy of actual emotions. And what are emotions? Emotions are energy in motion. So the reality is if you think of yourself as this energetic being who might be fully exposed, and what I mean when I say fully exposed is you're not quite cognizant that, oh, there's literally all this energy that's floating around and I haven't protected myself from it, then you're susceptible to all of that. So it's not unusual to feel anxious if you are next to somebody who is anxious or in connection with somebody who has an anxious vibration. And so I'm sure we can all relate to this. You walk into a room and you feel the energy, exact same thing. So imagine that amplified, not just in that room, but all the other devices that are around us that are literally beaming this energy. So it can become very confusing in terms of what belongs to me and what doesn't belong to me. But that's why I bring up the anxiety piece, because, you know, if you are feeling anxiety, the first thing I'm going to ask is, okay, does this belong to me? And trust the answer that you receive. So if the answer is yes, okay, then the obvious next question is, okay, well, what is this about? Where is this anxiety coming from? And then you're probably going to have all the things that you're thinking about. Another idea to pose here is anxiety is you thinking about the future and worrying about what's coming in the future. And the reality is it's not here yet. So there's not much that you can do about it. So, you know, once you start to identify what these feelings are, then this is where the self-talk comes in so that you can, you know, calm yourself down off of that chaotic ledge. And really what we're talking about here, so first what I'm trying to bring into your awareness here is the things that can indicate that there's a lot of chaos that's going on within you, right? So first we talked about, I call it mind on overdrive. That's what I like to call it. So when your mind is just a flurry of activity, that's the first indicator. The second one being like, how are you feeling? I just talked about, you know, jumping on the mic and feeling a little bit of anxiety within myself. And then the third one, of course, is like, you know, when the, not just anxiety, but also when those other emotions start to come into play, and anger is like another one that we've talked about here on the show. And then what you're going to do is you're going to ask yourself, okay, are you distracting yourself away? And that's what I was really getting at when I talked about numbing. Are we distracting ourselves away from what those feelings or the mind on overdrive are trying to tell us so that we don't have to deal with it? Which today, I would say if we look around, yeah, there's a lot to maybe be concerned about. And I'm human. I'm having this human experience with you. I'm a little concerned too, I won't lie. But the best thing that you can do for yourself and the collective is to calm yourself down. And that energy is contagious, just like fear. As much as fear is contagious, so is a calming influence. So what we're really talking about is recognizing what those signals and signs are in your body. And then the next piece is ultimately, how do we begin to bring some peace within that? And today we're going to roll through kind of all of the things. And like I said, the first half is like really worrying about or dealing with yourself. And then the second half, we're going to talk about actually the physical environment and what you can do when things are feeling or seemingly out of control. So now we're going to talk about the healing piece of it and the little things that you can begin to do when you are feeling the chaos that is going on. So of course, the first one, no, it's not meditation. It's actually breath work. The breath is surprisingly powerful, and it really can be done anytime. It's with you all the time. You don't need to do anything special. You don't even need to, you know, sometimes people will talk about deepening the breath and those kinds of things. And yes, those are very, very valuable tools in terms of deep breath work. But I'd like to, if you're very new to breath work, I would say that the first thing is just bringing the awareness to the breath. Breath work is a meditation in and of itself. So, you know, if you find yourself like this morning, I was feeling a little, I don't know what's going on. And so just bringing yourself back to your breath and asking those questions. And once you actually bring yourself back to the breath, you will notice that you will naturally start to calm yourself down. So that's why it's a very effective tool, because you can be in an interaction with somebody and just, you know, multitasking in your attention, and you can just be bringing that awareness to the breath. The second thing is, now this would require probably a little bit more, maybe a little more privacy in order to do it, or maybe not, but visualization. And I talk about this in other episodes where, you know, the mind is extremely creative and extremely powerful if you allow it to be. And this morning, actually, I was reading a book, and it actually talks a lot about this, and I'll probably share a lot about this book, but the book is actually called Heal Your Home Too. And the premise of the book talks a lot about creating this peace, and where, you know, the chapter that I'm at, what the author is talking about is when we come into this life and we come into this experience, we're all really, really close to the divine. And if you think about children, and, you know, their imaginary friends and just kind of the way that they're very open and joyful and playful, that's because they're really close to the divine and they haven't been bogged down yet and distracted by all the things that I told you about. And that's a really good place to put in a little thing for, like, you know, if you've got little kids and they're under the age of 5 or even younger, please keep the devices out of their hands. Do not cut them off from their beautiful divine connection so early. Don't let them get distracted with that stuff. So anyways, coming back to the point that I'm getting at is that when we're children, we're really close to the divine. We don't have all of these distractions. And so this is why one really useful thing that I talk about is, you know, finding joy and also allowing the inner child of you, of yourself, to come out. And it will really begin to open up this connection where you can really tune in and understand what these energies are that are going on within you. And the piece here around the visualization is adults find it really tough to do this. And the reason why we find this really tough is because we don't really do it anymore. Do we daydream? That would be the question I would ask you. How many of you actually spend time and let your mind wander in a way that is like, you know, just imagine? And that was a game that I used to actually play with my kids. It wasn't a game, but we would like use the dinner hour to actually sit down and say, you know, just imagine and let your curiosity and your creative energies take you where they will. So if you're not a really great visualizer, start asking yourself that. And it could be something as simple as, just imagine you won the lotto tomorrow. What would you do with it? $10 million. What would you do with it? And have some fun with it. You know, and that is really where we can begin to learn how to visualize. And the reason why the visualization piece is important is, like, if you can't see yourself in a calm environment. So there's this visualization I did a few years ago, and it was like this chaotic storm, a sandstorm that was like swirling all around me, and I could see myself like walking through it, but I was perfectly calm. I was determined, but I was unflappable in this storm. And so that's what I mean when I say the visualization piece is important in this, in terms of creating this calm, is because if you can't see it, then you can't create it. If you can't see it, you can't manifest it. So if you're not a good visualizer, or you currently struggle with visualization, like I said today, ask yourself, with whatever it is, what would I do with, or just imagine and let yourself flow with it. We're about to go here to break, but you are listening to Sacred Leadership with Charisse, myself, on the Inspired Choices Network. When we return, we will continue to discuss how to create calm when there is chaos all around. We will be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse. I am your host, Charisse, on Sacred Leadership on the Inspired Choices Network. So in the first segment, today's show actually is called Creating Peace and Calm Amidst Chaos. And so in the first segment, I was really talking a lot about identifying these things first, and you're going to recognize a theme, and that's very much with intention, because, you know, a lot of this leadership work requires that you deal with your own stuff, your own wounds, your own chaos, your own discomforts, your own shadows, all of it, because you can't show up if you aren't actually doing the work within. You can't tell or model to someone how to do good or be a great leader if you're not actively doing that. You know, sometimes people be like, well, how long is this work? Okay, here's the truth. Forever. It is forever. It is every day. It is every moment. It never ends. And that is, I guess, ultimately, once you become aware that there's actually something that you want to address. So in the first segment, we were talking about your exterior world being chaos, you know, be it the drive to work, or, you know, getting the kids ready for work, or getting yourself sorted out, and all of the things that we're always thinking about that we got to do, which ultimately creates anxiety because you're thinking about the things you got to do. You're not being present in this moment. The second piece that we talked about is how we go through often and try to like drown out the discord or the chaos within with numbing devices. And numbing devices are everything from drugs and alcohol, sex, working too much, You know, scrolling is a real big one these days. I didn't even know this was a thing. That's how not a scroller I am, is double scrolling, apparently. And, you know, these kinds of things, realistically speaking, are just, they're just distractions from the things that are really kind of going on within you. So right now, where we're going to lead to is we're going to talk now about how we address these things. So we started recapping and talking about breath work. And breath work can be really simple. There's lots of different methodologies and lots of different types of breath work that can do a variety of different things, from calming you down. And that's the one that we talk about the most, is calming you down. But you can certainly use breath work to fire yourself up. And I'm not going to talk about that here today, because right now we're talking about how to calm ourselves down. So I'm not going to tell you how to fire yourself up with breath work. But in that, it can be as simple as bringing yourself to your breath and just the awareness and just following it, and you'll find yourself naturally calming down. The second part of calming yourself down is visualization. And the task I give to you, or the exercise I invite you to try, is just imagine and have some fun with it. Let your mind go wherever it wants to go. So the next one might seem super obvious, but I don't think enough of us do this with intention, and that's exercise. Yes, it's obvious that, you know, exercising is good for heart health, but think about, like, it's energy or emotions are like stuck in your body and they manifest in your body. So back issues, you know, tight hips, shoulders, like these are all things that we talk about when we work a desk job. And if you think about it, it's things that we're accumulating energetically. So remember I said or emotions are energy in motion. And if we don't actually expel it, it just sits in your body and manifests in some way, shape, or form. But when I say with intention, I don't mean go to the gym and work out really hard, or go to a yoga class and do the best warrior two. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about get out in nature, people. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being fully present when you are making that choice to, like, just take a walk. If you work from home, just, and you're feeling super frustrated about something, or you're starting to feel the tension in your body, pause, grab some earbuds, your favorite book, and go for a walk around the block and pay attention while you're out there. So maybe don't even take earbuds, just be fully present. Feel the wind on your skin, the warm sun on your skin, smell the air, like really just be very fully present in that very intentional walk outside. That is what I mean when I say be very intentional with your exercise. And then, you know, if you want to take it to other types of exercise, I'm going to bring yoga into this, because I personally find there's something they say in yoga that I personally find super valuable. Because when you're in a yoga pose, we talk about, like, using your breath to, like, get you through those really difficult postures. And I always loved that, where they say that, like, yoga is really, it's your on-mat practice, but when you're out there in the real world doing your life, your breath is your, like, off-mat practice. And so when you think about it, for those of you who are yogis, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you're very intentional in your practice, you can feel where the energy is stuck. You can direct the energy there and release it and let it go. That is what I'm talking about when I say be very, very intentional with your physical activity. So if you're out there walking and you're feeling, like, you know, some stress in your shoulders or whatever, direct the breath there. And what I mean when I say direct the breath, it means focus your attention there and breathe into it. So it just means literally focusing your breath and saying, go to my shoulders. That is what I mean when I say direct your breath. It's nothing fancy. It just takes practice. And once you start doing these kinds of things, you will feel the difference. You're going to be like, oh, there's not that tension there anymore. So anyways, that is what I wanted to say about exercise. Now, the next one, I don't know if many people are familiar with this. This is called sensory deprivation. We live in a world where there is lots of stimulation. And so what I'm going to invite you to try is something called sensory deprivation. And my favorite sensory deprivation is going to float therapy. There's lots of little places that are kind of popping up all over the cities, and it's float therapy. And so when you go in there, there's no lights. I mean, you can have lights if you want, but really it's a salt bath. And you lay in there, and if you really, really, really want to challenge yourself, you will go no lights, you will go no music, and you will lay there for 60 minutes in, you know, basically room temperature salt water tank. And just kind of pay attention to like how you're feeling. It is a little scary. I'll be really honest. When I tried just taking everything off and like going like super void, it was like, ooh, it's really dark in here and it's really quiet and you almost don't know what to do with yourself, right? Because we don't get that. You know, even when you go to sleep, you're dreaming. So your brain is, but like just kind of pay attention and sit with that. And then, you know, you don't have to do it for long. But my point is, it's like, give that a try and you will begin to witness like really the things will come up. Like, what are the things that you are really anxious about? Because when you are in a sensory deprivation tank, you don't have outside stimulus. You are really forced to sit with yourself. And I think realistically speaking, that that's often maybe what most of us are kind of scared of, is having to sit with ourselves and face those parts of ourselves that we might not be overly fond of. So go out today and find yourself a sensory deprivation tank. It is fabulous. And then the last thing I think I want to talk about when it comes to like starting that healing process is sound therapy. So there's all kinds of ways to do sound therapy. And I actually had this experience the other day. I was having one of those days, and sometimes what I'll do, so like you guys, I have a few playlists for various things. And so I just turned on my playlist and I hit shuffle, and whatever song came up, I don't even remember what the song was now, but as soon as the song came up, I started crying. And as soon as I started crying, I started laughing, because what I was laughing about, it's like once you begin to like really lean into the spiritual side of yourself, the divine speaks to you in as many ways as possible. And it was almost like a validation that what I needed in that moment was this very emotional release that I didn't even know that I needed. So when I talk about sound therapy, the easiest way to start is obviously with music. And it can be music that, you know, just really feeds your soul. I'm not talking about music that you can go to the club to or work out to or any of those things. What I'm talking about is music that like really brings peace and calm, whatever that looks like. The next evolution of music is frequency music. And there's all different types of frequency music, everything from, you know, 3 1s, 3 2s, 3 3s, 3 4s, 3 5s. Go to Spotify or meditation app, or even just Google it and just say, you know, 777 frequency music. And the different frequencies are really what help you to begin to like move certain energies and bring peace and calm. My favorite is 1111. And I use this fairly frequently to like really just kind of calm myself down when I'm feeling like very, very chaotic. I'll just use frequency music. Or even if I find that I'm having a tough time falling asleep, I will turn on some frequency music and off I go. Another way to infuse sound therapy into like bringing peace and calm into your world. And actually, you know, just before I move off of the frequency, I just got back to Nigeria, so I'm feeling a little discombobulated. And so what I'll do is just pop on my headphones, turn on my frequency music. My door is open so people can come and go as they please. But at the same time, it's allowing me to like regulate myself. So this is a really useful tool when you're at work to just kind of regulate yourself. And like I said, there are different frequencies, so they will give you something that you didn't even know that you needed, or maybe you felt intuitively that you needed, but you didn't know how to get there. Going back to the sound therapy, singing bowls. If you've never been to a singing bowl session. So singing bowls are, they can be metal or they can be glass. And if you actually go to like a singing bowl session, there's usually like a facilitator and they'll like play a bunch of melodies with these singing bowls. And again, it is meant to like open you up and bring out this release that you don't even know that you needed. And the last time that this happened to me was actually at the very beginning of this year. I just finished a yoga class and they happened to have a singing bowl thing right after. So I'm like, oh yeah, why not? I haven't been to one of these in a while. And there was nothing that I consciously knew of that was bothering me. But as soon as this lady started playing these singing bowls, oh my gosh, the waterworks just came out like you couldn't even believe. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know I had all of that sitting in me. So here's the deal, folks. You might not even be conscious of like what's bothering you. Sometimes it's just stored stuff. So all of these things that I'm telling you about are just meant to like give you release. It doesn't always have to be something super complicated. It can just open up, you know, your energetic channels just so that you can let it go and then you feel better. So that's really where we're going with this. We are about to take our second break. And when we come back from our second break, we will then be moving into like the very practical other pieces when you are dealing with other people in terms of like bringing the calm when there is chaos. So my name is Charisse Alexander. You're here on Sacred Leadership with Charisse on the Inspired Choices Network, and we will be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm so happy to have you here today on today's show, which is how do we create calm and peace when there is chaos all around? And in the previous segment, we were talking about some methods that you can use that are very applicable, super easy, and do not have to cost a lot of money in order to like bring peace to yourself in a very practical way. So the first one, just to recap, was breath work. So just bringing awareness to your breath. The second is visualization. Just imagine. That's the question. Just imagine blank, fill it in. Third one is exercise with intention in nature. So, you know, be fully present. 10, 15 minutes, be super present within those 10 to 15 minutes. And I promise you, there will be different perspective when you go back to doing whatever it is that you were doing. The fourth one is sensory deprivation. Go to your local sensory deprivation tank. Sign up for 60 minutes and take away the lights, the noise, the everything, and be with yourself. You will get something that will come out of that. You will either get a solution to a challenge or inevitably you will calm yourself down, unless you're claustrophobic. That's a different thing. If you're claustrophobic, don't go. But if you are not scared of small spaces, go try out a sensory deprivation tank. And then, of course, sound therapy. So that can be anything from, you know, calming musical playlists to frequency music to singing bowls. And singing bowls is, if you have a singing bowl, I actually have a singing bowl, but I don't have one with me today, but they're, you know, either metal or they're glass, and you get like a little wand and you use it, and it just like really unlocks blockages, energetic blockages, and lets that energy really start to flow. So now what we're going to talk about is, you know, the other pieces of practical, because this is like really working on yourself, right? Getting yourself calm and centered and just very level. Now what we're going to talk about is like, okay, now I'm at work. Great. I feel super duper calm. I'm ready to tackle the world. Now what? So you'll hear me say a lot, questions are your friend and you should use them like all the time. Like I ask about a million questions a day, and maybe it annoys people. It doesn't really bother me if it annoys them because I ask them so nicely so they don't get upset. But where the questions become really handy is not only for yourself, but even when you begin to bring this type of methodology to the people that you come into interaction with. And that can be in work, it can be in business, but it can also be in your personal relationships. And so I've talked, you know, a lot about, you know, okay, I'm feeling anxious today. Okay, well, why am I feeling anxious today? Okay, I'm feeling anxious today because, like, you know, I'm doing this podcast and I want to make sure that I'm giving you guys value. And so I want to do it perfectly. So I'm feeling, and I'm being really honest, this is why I'm anxious. So, you know, and then I go through the process of like, okay, well, somebody will find value. Maybe not everybody will love it, but somebody will find value. And, you know, you just keep doing what you need to do. That's an example of what I'm talking about with questions. But now, like, how do we now take this and like spin it outwards? And that's where the real magic begins. I love doing this, to be really honest with you. And so there's an example I'm going to use that happened, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks ago. And somebody within our organization, I loved how she prefaced this. She was like, I've got terrible news. Like, she sent me a text message. I was like, I don't like messages like that. But I'm like, that's okay, so I called her, of course, and I said, that's a terrible way to tell people something. I'm like, what is it you want to tell me? So, you know, she goes on to tell me that, you know, she's going to leave the organization. And so I go into fix it mode, right? Which is, so this is my logical brain. It's like, okay, how can I fix it? What can I do? Da, 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 so on and so forth and whatever. And I said, just give me time, right? And, you know, 48 hours passes and she didn't give me the time. And I was upset. And some people would say, well, that's a normal and natural response because it's a key position. I said, well, yeah, it is a normal and natural response. But then I went within and I was like, okay, well, why am I upset about her leaving? People come and people go all the time. Like, why am I personalizing this? Like, I don't think this is a reflection of me. Point is that I went through like a series of like probably three questions, which was the first was, well, why am I upset? The second was, you know, is there anything I can do to, you know, make this situation go the way that I want it to go? And then the third question was, and this is a really powerful one, is this in the best and highest good of all those involved, myself and everyone that will be impacted? And the answer, and like what I got was no. So it was almost like as soon as I was able to like really lean into the fact that it wasn't in every, and I don't know what's going to happen, to be honest with you. Like on the surface, it seems like it's a terrible thing. But the analogy I love to use with people is life is an orchestra. And really, I can only hear my instrument and the ones that are immediately around me. I can't hear the ones that are in the back or way out in the side. So I don't really know what their instrument sounds like in this beautiful harmony. So at the end of the day, once I was able to get that answer that at the end of the day, it's not in the best and highest good of myself and everybody impacted for this person or to force this person to stay or try and force them or cajole them, then I was able to let it go. And then I was like, moving on. Now, on the other side of that, what was interesting is that she was upset. And she was upset because she perceived that I was upset. And then she directed at me. And so, you know, she actually said, you know, I don't know, like maybe you're upset and all this other kind of stuff. And I just said to her, I said, you know what? I said, this news came pretty quick and I haven't had a whole lot of time to process it, but I did ask myself if I was deflecting something back to you. And I said, I don't actually think this has anything to do with me. I said, I think that you're upset with yourself and I'm not. And so I would ask you Why do you think I'm upset, and what difference does it make even if I am? I'm not being upset is the point I'm getting at. And why is this important? This is important because it was almost like I was putting a boundary up of like what I was willing to accept as mine and push back to someone else. And that's really important in this question asking, you know, because at the end of the day, I could have taken that on and I could have been like really in my head or in my own energy about she's thinking this and she's thinking that and oh my goodness and going to my people pleasing, but I didn't. I checked in with myself and I was like, okay, am I upset about this? No, I'm not. I've already made peace with it. So I just turned it back to her and just said, okay, well, I would suggest you ask yourself why you think I'm upset. I'm not angry. I'm still talking to you. I'm not being rude. I can feel in my energy that I'm not giving you anything that's low vibe. So you should sit with why you're upset, and you don't need to give me the answer. And I think sometimes when you say to people, you don't need to come back to me with the answer, you take the pressure off of them and the situation that you need to, like you're trying to dig into them is really where I'm going with this. So the question on both sides is to me a very effective way to diffuse what could feel like maybe combative or conflicting energies. Because when I think of this scenario, and because I know how I show up in these scenarios and I know that I wasn't angry, as soon as I said, I put my opinion out there, which was like, I'm really not upset. And I think that perhaps you should sit with why you are number one upset, and number two, why you think I'm upset, and you don't need to come back to me with the answer. It immediately diffused the situation. She immediately was like, you know what? You're right. This is not a you problem. And sometimes at first you might find that people get really defensive. When you ask them a question like that, sometimes they will shut down. And if they shut down, that's a ding, 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 ding. You hit on something. So I would say regroup and find a different way to ask it or ask it again. And when people are really, really angry and I'm not, the question I ask is like, you seem really upset right now. I would maybe ask myself why I'm so upset right now, and don't make it about me, because, you know, remember I said the natural thing to do is to point outwards. So as soon as you put that boundary where you say, okay, you're clearly upset right now, ask yourself why you're upset with me or why you're upset, and don't make it about me. What are you telling yourself in this interaction? And if you can hold space and a container for people, and that's the really important part of when you go into this questioning piece, is like you as the leader in this interaction, you're going to need to be able to be authentic, be vulnerable yourself, and most importantly, hold the space, the container. And what that means, again, to reiterate for those of you who are not familiar with what I mean when I say hold space or create the container, it means that the person can be themselves in that moment without judgment, and that you can also hold space and not take on what they're feeling. So if they're angry or if they're very emotional or whatever it is that they're feeling, that you can just be there and let them go through that process. And then this question piece becomes very, very effective, because they'll feel vulnerable enough, or they'll feel like they can trust the space enough that they can be vulnerable. And then that ultimately, when we do that, when we go through this process, this is where we really begin to create an environment of like open, safe, trusting communication, which we're going to talk about in a future episode. But what we are talking about all these weeks is we're talking about real foundational stuff on how we really begin to show up as sacred leaders and the tools. And this is a practice. This is not a quick fix. I've definitely said that it's a process. There will be forward progress, and then there will be times where it is not going to feel like it is working at all. So just to recap what we were talking about here, after you've learned how to like really, or have gotten some comfort with creating peace within yourself, Now you're out there interacting with your coworkers and your family, and you're going to have interactions where you're going to get to test this. You absolutely will. And really, it's about witnessing within yourself when there is the somatic response, the somatic meaning response in your body, and how you are going to respond to that, going through the questions. And I used an example on myself. So why am I feeling this? Can I fix this? Is this in the highest good of everyone? Once I got my answer, I could let it go, but then I was dealing with her stuff and I just took her through the exact same process, and then we were able to find some peace and some resolution within that. And just to recap before we go to break, once we begin to get really, really good at creating this container, this safe space, naturally what you're going to see is going to happen is the entire environment is going to begin to shift. Because people are going to recognize that they can have their moment and they can work through this process and they can create peace for themselves before they, you know, have emotional explosions. Externally, they will begin to self-regulate and recognize that they can do that for themselves, that they don't always need to like have this outward explosion, but they can start within, and then we can talk through it in a very, you know, methodical and calm manner. So we are going to break right now. You are on Sacred Leadership with Charisse on the Inspired Choices Network. On the next segment, we will be talking about how we physically create peace and calm amidst chaos. We will be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back. My name is Charisse Alexander, Sacred Leadership with Charisse on the Inspired Choices Network. And on today's show, we are talking about how do you create calm and peace amidst the chaos. In the very first segment, what we talked about was, you know, all the physical ways that this manifests in your life, mind on overdrive, you know, feeling it in your body, maybe numbing or doom scrolling or all of these kinds of things that are really a distraction to keep you from dealing with the chaos inside. In the second segment, what we talked about was, okay, well, how do we begin to heal these pieces? We talked about breath work. We talked about visualization. We talked about intentional exercise. We talked about sound healing, and then we talked about a sensory deprivation tank. And last or most recently, what we were talking about here was now how do we apply it? How do we apply it, you know, as we relate to the world? And what you'll realize, like once you start kind of on this journey, it's going to kind of go in the way of, it's very much like school if you think about it, right? You learn the theory. Okay, do this, practice this, try this, do that, so on and so forth. And then you're going to get to go out and apply it. And you're going to have some success. And then you're going to have some moments where you're like, that didn't work. Okay, well, no problem, then tweak it. So don't, and I'm saying that because it's like, don't be discouraged. Don't stop. Don't quit. It's practice. That's why it's called a spiritual practice, because you have to keep doing it. So now what we are going to talk about is physical comfort, right? So we've talked a lot about like bringing that peace within, but how do we support it in the external world, right? The world that we interact with. So we've talked about people. Now we're going to talk about spaces. So I'm someone who loves juicy spaces. And what I mean when I say that is, like, I like things that look good. I like things that smell good. I like things that feel good. We live a very physical experience. And so when we are trying to create that calm and peace, the idea is that we are also trying to create it in a very physical sense. So I have a few things that I do, and I kind of wrote this actually for the workplace. And so the first thing is crystals. Please don't laugh at me. Okay, you can laugh at me. It's okay. I won't be offended. But even now, today, I have two in my hand. Because remember, I told you, I started today with some anxiety. And so I just felt like I needed something that was weighty, that I could, like, just kind of sit and just kind of feel very grounded within. So today what I have with me, now these are not the crystals I'm going to suggest, but just in case you're wondering what they are. So I have a Merkaba with me, and then I have selenite, and this is like in a little heart shape. And those who know me literally call me a crystal girl, because I do have them everywhere. They're in my house, they're in my office, they're in my purse, they're like, they're all over the place. I wear them all, like, they're just everywhere. I have them everywhere all the time. But the first one I wanted to touch on was crystals. And if you're talking about a workplace, the three that I would suggest, number one is pyrite. Pyrite looks like gold. I don't have any with me here, but it's, the nickname for it is fool's gold. And the reason why I'm thinking that or feeling that for the workplace is because work is about abundance. It's about success. It's about, you know, money and, you know, calling in abundance for you. So pyrite is a great crystal to have at work. Easy to find. And then the other two are clear quartz and amethyst. Clear quartz is like what amplifies your, it's actually like the, we'll say the mother of all crystals. It kind of amplifies the other ones. And then amethyst is really going to help your connection, your intuition. You can use it, you know, if you're trying to lean into this in terms of work, you can wear amethyst, you can have it near you, and it'll really allow you to, like, open up and start to, like, lean into the more intuitive part of yourself and trust it. Trust it in the small ways first, and then, you know, you'll just keep going a little bit and a little bit more. The second thing in your physical environment, plants. I have plants in my office, and I love my plants, because I used to have an office with a lot of windows, but now my office does not have any windows, and I'm really surprised at how my plants are thriving, but they are alive. And so plants are like, think about the energy that plants really bring. And interestingly enough, when I was like thinking about the crystals that I felt would be really great for the workplace, I was like, oh, I need something grounding. But then I remembered plants. They're earth. So they naturally ground. So I have currently two plants in my office, but even one plant would, like, really, really be super helpful. Next, aromatherapy. I have an aromatherapy diffuser in my office, and the scents that I use and I suggest are lavender. Lavender is very calming and relaxing. Citrus, because citrus is actually very energizing. So I'll use citrus essential oils like orange or lemon, so, and I'll mix them together. So then that way you kind of get, like, you get the calm, but you also kind of get the energetic piece, so that you can, like, you can be calm, but I'm going to work. It's kind of the idea around that kind of man-made blend. And then lighting. If you don't have windows, like in my office, then I would suggest, if it's possible. So I don't love white light. I mean, man-made white light, I should say it like that. Because I find it really harsh, and I think a lot of people do. So what I do to temper it is I will use, like, a warm light as well. So I have also a warm LED light in my office, so that I can kind of get that balance of, like, well, I need light to see, but at the same time, I want some warm light around me. So it makes me feel, like, very cozy. Not cozy as in go to sleep, but comfortable. Like, I'm happy to be here. And then last but not least, artwork. Things that just say you. If it's your office, like you have your own four walls, then things that really bring you joy, that speak to your personality, that really make you feel very comfortable, or inspire calm. So, like, it be it abstract pieces or, you know, nature pieces, whatever your jam is, I'm just saying, surround yourself with art and creative pieces. I have, like, art and, like, statues and things like that. And I would even go so far as to suggest, like, you know, local artwork. you know, indigenous pieces that can like really kind of honor the land that you happen to be working in. So just to recap, as we are coming close to the end of our time today, where we are talking about how to create peace and calm in the chaos, and just to kind of like maybe tie that all in, this does not just have to be work. There are a lot of things that are going on in the world right now that are creating a lot of chaos for people in themselves. Any one of these things you can use anytime. Thank you so much for joining me today on Sacred Leadership with Charisse on the Inspired Choices Network. Until next week.
Thank you for listening to the Sacred Leadership Show. Charisse returns Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific on the InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, continue taking small steps today to be a leader in your life for the collective. Choicesnetwork.com. Until then, continue taking small steps today to be a leader in your life for the collective.